Welcome back, Mighty Vandals, to Tubs of the Club, your University of Idaho affiliate on the Big Sky Podcast Network, brought to you by Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey. I'm your host, because Dallas is busy at Nickelback, a.k.a. some jackass's wedding. I'm your host, Brian Marceau.
#StopFallWeddings.
Yeah, dude, #StopFallWeddings. I asked this question to Jason Mayer pregame. If your friend has a fall wedding, are they a friend? And to ask the questions to answer it. But anyway, because Dallas is not here, this is an immediate dive into Amateur Hour with Marceau and Martin. So joining as co-host and producer, who sometimes does something else that rhymes with producing that I won't bring up, Martin, how's it going, dude?
It's going great, and it's an Idaho win, so it's always a great Saturday night.
Yeah, we are joined at this instant. We're the live clock counting our initial countdown is at just under 4 minutes of play. Tubs of the Club has 39 live listeners, guys. So we will do our best to be servicing #OnlyTubs that comment section throughout the game, throughout the post game. But we have a game to talk about right now. And by the way, Martin, this was a spoiler alert, kick-ass game, man. From wire to wire, look, this was number 4 Sacramento State, number 7 Idaho, a real top 10 matchup, the kind of FCS game that we have been wanting to see since 2018. If Idaho is going to be here, we want to be at the top and beat the top. Well, look, the game against Sacramento State, final score 36-27, but competitive. Idaho wins by 9. Competitive wire to wire. Do not let that look, 9 points is more than one score. Do not let that gap let you think this game was anything but close. So Idaho drew first blood on a 29-yard field goal by Ricardo Chavez with 7 minutes left in the first quarter, which was then followed up by a Sac State field goal. So end of first quarter, we're 3-3. Second quarter, there are moments where Idaho looked like they were going to really step away and have a 10-14-point lead heading into half. I mean, this is partially off of Anthony Woods' 2-yard touchdown run and a Ricardo Chavez field goal. But there are some penalties. We'll get to this stuff. And Idaho ended up leading 13-10 at half after Sacramento State quarterback Caden Bennett threw a 5-yard touchdown pass to Austin Gerard with 31 seconds left in the half. Second half, TJ Ivey, who, man, it's shocking to see the tight end is one of the big play threats. TJ Ivey gets a 52-yard touchdown pass from Giovanni McCoy, puts Idaho up 20-10. Sac State responds very quickly with an 8-play, 75-yard drive capped by Marcus Fulcher running for a 2-yard touchdown. Then, man, one of the plays of the game, nearly end of the third quarter, Therese Traynor, 60-yard touchdown pass from Giovanni McCoy to cap a 5-play, 91-yard drive. Idaho leads 27-17 heading into the fourth. Sac State knots it up with a field goal, then an 11-yard touchdown pass from Caden Bennett to Marcus Fulcher with 4 minutes and 54 seconds left in the game. That's when Idaho did what Idaho does under Jason Eck. Idaho with a 4 minute 46 second final drive to set up Ricardo Chavez for the game winning 30-yard field goal with 1 second of gameplay. Ormani Arnold made the score look a little better with a 6-yard fumble return for a touchdown when Sac was going desperation to try to pull off a kickoff return for a touchdown on a squib kick. But that's your game, guys. So again, I know it's 9 points. Idaho did not get their knockout blow until there was 1 second of gameplay left. That's how close this was. So, Martin, with that said, what went well for Idaho?
For me, it felt like I think the one thing that went well was, I think it might be talked about in like what might not have went well, but I think for me, like one thing that kind of stood out was the Anthony Woods and on the ground game, I think had I thought was a pretty productive game today.
Oh, you're 100% right. And we're going to hit this in other ways, but Idaho dominated the ground game, rushing for 178 yards, net yards on 44 rush attempts. That's 4 yards per carry, capped off with individual performances of Anthony Woods, 24 rushes for 117 net yards, one touchdown, a long run of 19 yards. But McCoy had some magic through on the ground as well. 11 rushes for 52 gained yards. You just subtract 20 from sacks. They also subtract a handful of rushes there. But McCoy gains 52 yards for Idaho on the ground. Nick Romano, 7 rushes, 32 yards. We're sticking with what went well offensively. Look, you talked about the running game. You were right to bring that up. But man, Javonte McCoy made some plays. Dude was 15 to 21 through the air, 234 yards, 2 touchdowns, had 3 sacks. Part of why McCoy was, to me, was as impressive as he was is something we'll hit in the not went well section too. But McCoy was on the run a ton, sacked 3 times, hit the ground far more than 3 times. And the big plays for Idaho, look, McCoy had a 60-yard touchdown pass. That was his longest pass play of the game. But McCoy did not just hit open guys. McCoy had to make something out of nothing quite a bit in this game, and he delivered. I mean, you look at the receiving numbers on the 15 receptions. Hayden Hatton, 7 catches, 72 yards. He's going to get in the end zone pretty soon, guys, and break that record. Terez Trainer had a 60-yard touchdown catch. That was the only catch of the day. TJ Ivey, 2 catches, 52 yards, and a touchdown. Jermaine Jackson, 3 catches for 38 yards. That's most of the work in the receiving room. But, you know, looking at the overall team stat split, you know, like we just said, Idaho rushed 44 times for 178 yards, passed it 21 times for 234 yards. I mean, the Vandals, Martin, I think were effective both on the ground and through the air. And look, that's Taylor Cash in the comment section saying, and his deep ball, talking about Javonte McCoy, Super George 111 deep balls. Yeah. Javonte was great, but honestly, the entire you talk about the running backs, the receivers, Martin, quarterback, those, everyone offensively really, for the most part, came to play throughout this day. So we hit some offensive stuff, Martin. What went well for Idaho defensively?
Defensively, I think for me, the big one that I saw was when Idaho's offense had some costly turnovers. The defense is able to hold Sacramento State to a field goal, or even hold them the field goals, or keep them to having to punt themselves as well. I thought that was kind of the big thing, was like not just to give up when they when the offense turned it over.
Okay, for me, what easily went well or went best for Idaho defensively is Sacramento State. We hit this on the pregame show. Sac State rushes the ball about 1.5 times for every one pass attempt. So Andy Thompson wants Sac State to run the ball, not just the running backs, but Caden Bennett as well. Idaho killed the Sacramento State ground game, absolutely demolished it on the day. Sacramento State with 69 net rushing yards on 29 attempts. That's 2.4 yards per rush. So look, total yards gained was 110, but between sacks and you know, some negative rushing plays, the Hornets lost 41 total yards. So holding Sacramento State to 2.4 yards per rush, not even 70. Yeah, I know 69 is a nice score, but like below 70 on the game. I mean,
that's a nice day for the defense.
Nice day for the defense. And like here's the other thing. Andy Thompson really wanted to be able to run it against Idaho. He didn't give up really on the pass. Andy Thompson did not give up on Sacramento State on the ground until late. And Idaho didn't wear out. Sacramento State's got a strong offensive line. They've got good guys rushing the ball, both at running back and quarterback. And didn't matter, man. Idaho defensively and front seven, man, this was a game. You know, if you were concerned about this because of if you were concerned about the Idaho defensively against the Grush because of the Cal game, well, you don't need to be worried about this. Sacramento State's a good rushing FCS team with a good offensive line, and Idaho shut them down on the ground. We're going to hit a couple other things, but before we get to what did not go well, Martin, we got to hear from our boys at Hughes River Expedition, which thank you for getting that up, man. Hughes River Expedition. I did not get to run into Colin Hughes at this game, which I'm kind of pissed about. But
sorry, Colin. I totally forgot to come say hi today as well.
Well, look, Colin's a new dad, so he was most certainly busy. But anyway, by the way, Taylor Cash, shorthanded front seven, no Malachi tonight. You're right. And still the front seven, Taylor looked pretty good. Keyshawn James Newby, the transfer from Montana Tech on the edge, he's looking pretty good. At least I think he's looking pretty dang good. Hughes River, if you're looking for a great all-inclusive week-long vacation, don't look past your backyard. Hughes River Expeditions has been Vandal-owned and operated since 1976 and are ready to take you on the vacation of a lifetime. Enjoy a multi-day trip down the Middle Fork of the Salmon, the main Salmon River of no return, the Salmon River Canyons, and the Selway. Check out special trips like the one to see the Persead Meteor Shower. Camp on pristine beaches, run amazing whitewater hikes, scenic trails, spot wildlife, soak in beautiful natural hot springs, and fish some of the most remote stretches of river in the country. You just bring your clothes, let HRE handle the rest. Grab a paddle, catch dinner, and ride the bull all throughout the Gem State. Call them now at 800-262-1882 or check them out at HughesRiver.com. Doesn't matter if you're a big group or a small group, contact Hughes River. What did not go well today, Martin?
I think for me, it was untimely penalties. It seemed to me like they're always, I think I want to say it was the touchdown just before the end of the first half. They had a couple of, and they had some stupid penalties, like a unsportsmanlike conduct penalty where, yes, Caden Bennett flopped, but Idaho should not have done any, should not have let them get to their head, or like a roughing the passer, which might not have been one. I don't know. Like, it still seemed like there was a, like, some untimely penalties that kept drives alive for Sacramento State.
Oh, and killed drives for Idaho. Look, Idaho only had 49 total yards lost due to penalties. If you are only understanding lost penalty yards as what was assessed because of the flag, if you're talking about lost games or what had been, would have been third down, stop and sack on third down, but now Sacramento State has life, Idaho felt like they gave up about 150-ish yards in good plays by the offense or defense that penalties snuffed out. You're 100% right, too, about, man, Idaho, very deceiving number to look at just the 49 yards for penalties. The timeliness, man, some of these, just the timeliness absolutely could not have been worse in setting Sacramento State up or stopping Idaho from really putting some space between them and the Hornets in this game, which, but you cannot have left the Kibbe Dome and think Sacramento State is not a strong team, but there's also ways we could rerun this game where Idaho wins by no fewer than 14 without a late, you know, fumble recovery for a touchdown at the end. So the part that did not go well for me, like, there's kind of two to hit, one offensive, one defensive, Martin. And pass protection from the O-line was not good enough. Or to me, it was not good enough. Giovanni, Idaho did well offensively because Giovanni made something out of nothing a lot. But Sacramento State had 10 sacks heading into this game on the three-game season. They sit at 13 sacks now. So obviously they got to Giovanni a bit. Giovanni was under duress. And this was a game that, even though Idaho was leading for virtually the entire game, Martin, I was anxious for a lot of this game because Sacramento State being able to not give McCoy very much time really made me think that Idaho, even though Idaho was in control for most of this game, it felt like losing control was a lot more tenuous than, you know, like Idaho leading 27-17. Sac State coming back from that was not shocking whatsoever. Part of that was offensive line. But the other thing that did not go well, which was truly a surprise to me, because we have been rightfully raving about the secondary. Idaho's secondary was the part of the defense that was exploited. We know this will probably get better because Sacramento State's a good team, but, you know, surprisingly, Marcus Harris got beat on a couple long plays, which obviously those hurt on the game. If you want to look at stats for Sacramento State, Caden Bennett for the Hornets goes 15 to 29 for 236 yards and throws two touchdowns as well. But if we look at, you know, in the breakdown of like yards per play, This is not hard to understand at all. If Sacramento State were to replay this game, they'd throw the ball a lot more. Averaged 8.1 yards per attempt, 15.7 yards per completion. The 15.7 yards per completion right in line with what Idaho averaged on the game, and Idaho was effective throwing the ball. So that what the Idaho secondary allowed was, to me, a bit surprising. One final thing to hit of what did not go well, because when we talk about overall takeaways, guys, look, Idaho won, so the day was good. There's other things we're going to hit. Idaho lost two fumbles. which this is the second consecutive week with two lost fumbles on the season. Idaho is -4 in turnover margin, -2 now in Big Sky play. And look, part of Idaho's success last season was having the best turnover margin in the Big Sky. You got to think this is going to get better at some point, because wide receiver fumbles were just not an issue for Idaho last year. And in 2 weeks, the Vandals have lost 3 wide receiver fumbles. Javonte McCoy lost a fumble, but you know what? That's going to happen. If a guy is under duress, Martin, like Javonte was today, guys are going to take sacks and guys are going to turn the ball over. It's honestly, with how much Javonte had to make something out of nothing, it's astounding that he threw no picks. Not because he looked inaccurate. He was accurate all day. It's just Sacramento State put a lot of pressure on Javonte McCoy, Martin. But that's what did not go well for me. Before we get to offensive, defensive MVP, then overall takeaways, we got to hear from Snake River Stampede Canadian Whiskey. Another, they're a presenting sponsor. Snake River Stampede, one of the best buys in Idaho liquor stores. The whiskey is a blend, a 3-grain blend, 80% corn, 10% rye, 10% malted barley. Doesn't matter which version you get, whether it's Snake River Stampede or Snake River 1915 small batch, both are double barrel finished. The Stampede in first fill bourbon, the Oloroso sherry casks, the 1915 in first fill bourbon, and then in ex-Canadian whiskey casks, but the 1915 small batch is aged for an additional 2 years compared to the Stampede. Both are great buys. Snake River Stampede in particular, $25.95, one of the best buys you're going to find in Idaho liquor stores. If you haven't given them a shot, do it next week. If you have given them a shot, you already know it was worth your time. Snake River Stampede. So Martin, offensive MVP.
Oh boy. Looking at stuff. I think I'm gonna go with the obvious and just go with Javonte McCoy for some of the passes he was able to get completed, having a 70%. Yes, I'm reading the stat box right now, but just having another great like 70% completion percentage. He was the best player on the field today.
Yeah, you're 100% right talking about Javonte. We already hit Anthony Woods. Yeah, Anthony Woods was very good. Made a lot of guys miss. He's another potential brain dead pick for offensive MVP. But I'm gonna steer this towards special teams. Ricardo Chavez, 3 for 3 kicking field goals. Hit a 29 yarder in the first quarter, a 50 yarder, 50 yarder in the second quarter, and then hit the go ahead kick from 30 yards out with 1 second left. Chavez is in the form that we saw from him at the start of last season, making everything, looks like the best kicker in the Big Sky. So, want to go to the comment section for a moment to get a little bit more here. We have forgive us, dudes. Martin, I don't know if you listened to the last episode where I dug us a real comment thread hole. And I'm about to dig another one right now. So, MVPs from the comment section. Super George 111 says Woods, Jason Mayer, Woods, Idaho Real Estate, Woods, Patty Firks, Woods or Vonnie. Crewhead 76, Woods, Patrick Firks, Vonnie had to make a lot happen today. Taylor Cash, McCoy, it wasn't close. Jason Mayer, Woods wasn't even going to play as of Wednesday. VP 97, McCoy, Turner Webb, Woods had some great cutbacks. Nate Mink, Chavez, asking about me. Taylor Cash, Chavez with the dagger. Steve Kurtz, agreed. Chavez, Woods, moving the sticks at the end of the game. Look, Woods had a great game. Vonnie had a great game. But hey, Chavez shined as much as he possibly could this game. So look, we have a lot of options that we can go with. All of them are great. Defensive MVP, Martin.
I'm going to go with Keyshawn James Newby. He had it was the first time I was kind of, I wouldn't say I was not comfortable or confident. I wasn't not confident with him before, but cause like jumping up from the NAIA, you think like, oh, how much are they going to actually be able to make an impact right away? But for me, I think he was my defensive MVP today.
Yeah. I'm going to be boring, Martin, and 100% agree with you. Because, like, broadly, if I could just give the defensive MVP to the defensive line for their role in shutting down Sacramento State on the ground, that's what I go with. But If that's what I'm looking at, then yeah, Keyshawn James, newbie, is the dude to talk about. Had a sack, which was for a 16-yard loss, three solo tackles, and one tackle he assisted on. Also, got to say, look, Marcus Harris would not be defensive MVP today because of
he did get burned a couple times.
Yeah, he did get burned a couple times, but just want to bring this up. Both Tommy McCormick and Marcus Harris, and look, Tommy McCormick, it's a little more expected because of his role as a safety. But those are two dudes in our secondary who hit pretty dang good. Marcus Harris seems like he is always going to have at least one to two solo tackles where he reminds you that he can make an impact, not just knocking the ball away. Tommy McCormick also, look, he was involved in helping shut down the Sacramento State ground game. But I got to agree with you. If we're going to go with one of the dudes in the front seven, I'm going to go Keyshawn James, newbie. Before we get to our broad takeaways, because look, we got to talk attendance, because the attendance felt pretty dang good. We'll hit the number. Got to talk what this game seems to mean for Idaho. But we have to talk about Tap the Keg first, because Idaho just had a big win at home. There's no way Idaho is not moving into the top five. And if Idaho is not moving into the real top five, not the Portland State top five, then maybe just never pay attention to a single poll for, I don't know, forever. Let's talk Tap the Keg. It's going to happen October 13th, which is the Friday before homecoming. It's going to be from 3:30 to 7:30 at the Dan O'Brien Track and Field Complex. That's just outside the Kibbe Dome. Essentially, it's a brew fest where you're going to have Oktoberfest themed food. You're going to have a ton of local regional beer, ciders, and seltzers to taste. It was a well-attended event last year. It's going to be better this year. Early bird pricing, which is $25 a head right now, although you can also buy up and get your own stein, which I'm not saying it's a little brown stein, but I'm saying in the description of the event, it references Stein, Brown, and Little as part of the inspiration. But you can buy up and get your own stein that gives you bigger tastings as well for 50. But get your tickets quick, man. Grizz fans are going to buy tickets for this too. So if you want to go, get your tickets now. Early bird pricing. That's Tap the Keg. Looking for tickets, you can, as I'm entering amateur hour, to find the URL on our page, go to go.uidaho.edu/tap the keg. Takeaways, Martin. Take this wherever you want, dude, because we do have a couple areas to hit.
It felt great to be back in the dome today. I think we'll get to this number in just a second, but it felt loud. It felt kind of like a homecoming type atmosphere, even though it wasn't a homecoming game today. The other one, it just was obviously for first game of the year, there's going to be some hiccups like there was getting in. People maybe get in a little earlier than 15 minutes beforehand. Or the other thing that happened, that's kind of my broad takeaways.
Okay. First game about the game experience. You, as a fan, you can't get in line to get in 15 minutes before the game and get in on time. You have to do that at least 30 minutes now. The lines, and hey, facilities, you got to get better at this. The lines were way too fucking slow to get in the game. That's probably the only thing I'm really going to bitch about, is the lines to get in were way too slow. They were back very far up, like well into the parking lot when I tried to get into the game. I went around the back on the alum side because there's some additional entrances. But that's got to get better. Mm-hmm. Attendance, Martin, you brought it up. The energy was great inside the dome. I posted a picture on Twitter from my viewpoint. I was on the alum side taking a picture of the student side. And I thought the energy was pretty dang good. Attendance was not, if you guys remember first home game last year against Drake, attendance was disappointing. I wasn't disappointed in attendance at all. I'm with you. This game reminded me attendance-wise of like homecoming last season. What's your ballpark guess on the actual attendance number, Martin?
Fuck! Martin, 10.5K.
10.5K? I have some surprising news, dude. You are barely 1,000 off. Announced attendance was 9,433, but that was a 9,433 that punched like an 11,000. Like everyone was into it. That didn't feel like a 60-ish percent capacity. I thought we're at like 75%, which is to say the energy for the program, the people who are showing up, it's getting better. And with Idaho picking up this big win, I expect this is our worst attended game, Idaho's worst attended game of the season, and it was good. Like if this was the baseline of attendance that we've had for the last handful of years, like, you know, last half decade, we'd be pretty damn happy as Vandals. So obviously we want it to get better, but I thought the crowd was great. I thought the crowd was great. Was the students showed up, the band kicks ass because they always kick ass. But Martin, did you sit on the student side or the alum side?
Student side.
How did it look? How did the alum side look from the student side section? Because the student side section from the alum side looked like 80% full.
Yeah. It felt like it looked good. I mean, like the obviously like the 10 and to the walls was going to be thin like most games it seems to be.
Yeah.
But other than that, it felt like I would say probably 70, 75% full. Okay. It felt like.
So, all right. Okay. So you're kind of similar to where I was. So I want to ask you a couple more game questions before we talk like broader takeaway, like experience questions. So look, Idaho beat, Sacramento State was favored to win this game as the visiting team in Moscow. Idaho beats them. There's certainly a world where Idaho could have won this game by multiple scores. You know, one of the things that we talked about on the pregame was that Caden Bennett is going to throw 4 to 5 pickable passes every game. That's who he is right now. He threw those 4 to 5 and Idaho did not capitalize on any of those. They certainly should, in my mind, should have picked off at least 2, and Idaho still won the game. They pick off a couple of those passes. Suddenly that's a 2-score game. Idaho doesn't have penalties at the time they did and erase what they did. Idaho probably picks up at least another score or doesn't give up an extra score heading into halftime. And it's a 10-point game, not a 3-point game. But your big picture takeaway from, or what were your big picture takeaways from Idaho winning this game against, this was not a bad Sacramento State team. Like to me, the Hornets did not underperform. Idaho was just good.
For me, like the big takeaway is just Idaho is actually good, and it's not just a flash in the pan. Like they beat like a top 5 team, not just top 5 joke Portland State type team, but they beat a top 5 ranked team, ended a 19 game winning streak. So was it 21 or is it 19 or 21?
Whatever you're talking about. You are talking about Sacramento State's Big Sky Conference winning streak.
Yeah,
that's what you're talking about, right?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if it was 19 or not, but it was two complete seasons. It extended back into 2019. Okay. Was how far back? That's
It just to me like this game just showed that Idaho's good, and outside of maybe the Montana State game, Idaho should be favored in pretty much every game from here on out.
Yeah, the only question that remains a limiting factor to me is pass protection, is how long the team can buy McCoy. Because Sacramento State's good. What Sacramento State does is get to the quarterback, and they got to McCoy. There was a lot of that game where McCoy had not very much time to make something happen. And look, of McCoy's 6 incomplete passes, he threw at least 2 of them away, which is to say the incomplete pass was the right thing. It was him reacting to the defense and doing what he needed to. But that's the offensive line play seems like the only real limiting factor. Cause you know, we talked about secondary as being what did not go quite as well this game. Now, to me, this is brain dead. This was the worst secondary showing by Idaho. But some of that was also just, it was truly like just some of it was like 2 or 3 plays. You know, Marcus Harris went for a pick
He tried to bait Caden Bennett into a pick, and it kind of just overreached him. And then I forget, number 5 just took it for like 50 yards.
Harris. Well, Harris was also there. He just whiffed the first one I'm talking about. He was there. He just missed. And so his receiver was unprotected for, like you said, 50 some yards.
There was another one where he did like a pump fake, and it just Harris completely bit on it.
Yeah. Which isn't a put down to Marcus Harris. He's an all Big Sky level talent for sure. We know he's going to play like it. He's played like it most of the season, and he's going to play like it in the future. The reason that, just reason I bring that up is we know there's going to be stronger performances out of the secondary overall. We know Idaho is gonna have to start forcing some turnovers though, because I just don't think that Idaho is gonna be able to be negative turnovers and they're not gonna beat Montana State with negative turnovers, and negative turnovers is what might keep Montana close when it's looking like on paper Idaho Montana should not be a close game. But one of my big picture takeaways is I referenced offensive line. I got lost in the secondary rabbit hole. Offensive line is the one thing that we're still a little bit concerned. Every other group is passing the test, guys. Idaho can score through the air on the ground. Anthony Woods is very good at making something out of nothing, but often the line was better to me on the ground game for the most part than through the air. The front seven is looking tough, a little bit tougher to me each week. And man, there's a lot of boxes checked, man. Idaho continues to be inventive offensively. They continue defensively to somehow, again, they just look like a better, more cohesive defensive unit this year than last year. Which, hey, talk about the turnovers for a second. Idaho's not yet forcing the turnovers, and they look like a better defensive team than last year. When they start to have some of those plays, like those Bennett passes that could have been picks, when those materialize into turnovers, and if Idaho can figure out how to have receivers not fumble the ball, which was not an issue last season, this team is starting to look bulletproof against all but like what, five FCS teams, Martin. The winner of this game, I think, can rightfully say at this stage of the season, you might not pick them to win the title, but it's fair to say, like, hey, both Sac State and Idaho look like teams that could be in the Final Four. And once you make the Final Four, like, hey, whatever happens, happens. Your matchup is your matchup. And Idaho in year two of Eck is looking nationally elite. And Eck didn't even buttress this team with a bunch of transfers. This was a lot of the guys who were already here, plus young guys who are developing. That's incredible to me, Martin, as a development for Idaho. So we just hit that at the national level. I want to ask you at the personal level of this game. How did this feel? Idaho hosts the top 10 team. The game is fun as hell. Both teams play well. Idaho comes out on top. Like, what? How long has it been as a Vandal to have something like that be the backdrop of your game, dude? How is it for you watching this game?
It feels good. Like, I even the 2016 season, it's like I have not experienced anything like this in my time as being a Vandal. And that goes back to the dark days of like the 2012 football season. It feels good.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I say anything else, I have to dig another hole in the comment section. So Martin, I'm just scrolling up until, oh, hey, I missed a couple. Shout out Ormani Arnold for the backdoor cover. That's from JD2273. Yeah. Or Ormani Arnold. That was okay. That was a beautiful cap on this game. For Ormani Arnold to take that last play, that last fumble in for a touchdown. The game was decided once the fumble was recovered, but hell yeah, man, the dome exploded. I stayed in afterward to scream the fight song. You guys can hear my voice sounds a little bit used because it was a little bit used today. So comment section, Nate Mink, Hornets were extremely good. Patty Furks, Idaho is good. Crewhead 76, that ending was badass. Nate Mink, 19. Nate, I have no idea what that means. Andrew Whipple, with crazy hotel costs these days, plus fuel costs, not sure we'll get the caravans of fans down from down south. Andrew, that's a huge issue for that Idaho can't fix. Maybe this will now be resolved, that a Pac-12 to have shitty scheduling for WSU and Idaho does not exist, because the Big Sky has been ahead of the Pac-12 in releasing schedules. So maybe Moscow wins with the death of the Pac-12, and that we'll finally have WSU not be scheduling games, or not have their games scheduled for them every time Idaho has a game. Turner Webb, fraud alert for UM. We're going to talk about that on the power rankings tomorrow, Martin, or I would imagine we will. Taylor Cash, as Craig Haley said, this is a show me game. Yeah, and Idaho, both teams, Martin, if this was a show me game, like if you're a Sac State fan for a second, dude, are you upset with the performance of Sacramento State at number 7 Idaho today?
No, it didn't. Not really.
No, both teams played well. Both teams, there were objective strengths. You know, if you're a Sac State fan, you probably say, hey, Andy Thompson, I wish you would have gone to the air a little bit more. But if you're an Idaho fan, what you'd say is, well, look, Caden Bennett threw those pickable passes, and today Idaho didn't pick them off. If we play this game 10 times, that's not going to happen every single time. And if Idaho picks some of those passes off, the flow of this game changes radically. Patty Firkst, the O-line scares me a bit. I'm with you, Patty. That's why we brought that up earlier. Super George, 111. We beat a good team, and we didn't even have a great game. Can get much better. Captain 58, I think Sac and us are very similar. Montana State made a statement on the road today at Weber, which we'll talk about tomorrow. We better pack up a lunch for that game. Crewhead 76, amen, Super George. Chuck Caswell, 22. All right, guys, I love you. I have no idea. When we just post numbers with nothing else attached to it, I have no idea what we're talking about. Patty Firkst, Idaho gives to Sac State at least 10 points via penalties. Yes. Jack Schneider, 22. Okay. Again, I know nothing about these numbers. Montana State is on another level. Turner Webb, also some iffy officiating calls. But hey, Turner, both teams had some shitty calls. Both teams were the beneficiaries of shitty calls. Both teams got screwed by some shitty calls. I didn't think this was this was one side being annihilated by the refs and the other not. Cole Berriochoa, forgive me for that butchering, dude. 22 regular season games, 19 road games, 12 Big Sky wins. Thank you, Cole, for clarifying what the heck that means. 22, we're talking about the Sacramento State winning streak. 22 regular season games, 19 road games, 12 Big Sky games. Thank you to Cole, the new member of our crack research team. Harris is just aggressive. Taylor Cash, guys, I'm going to have to stop talking about the comment section in a minute. Crazy that what Eck has accomplished in 2 years, says Jack Hamilton. Idaho played arguably their ugliest game of the year and beats a top five team. Never would have thought this possible 2 years ago. In the Dome, I didn't think it was ugly. I thought Idaho made mistakes, but also Sacramento State's good. They make teams make mistakes, just like Idaho makes teams make mistakes. Nate Main, people love to hate on our former coaches, but they recruited well. For the most part, yeah. I mean, that's part of why people hate on the coaches was not material, not turning strong recruits into something. Andrew Whipple, Bennett, one of the better QBs we'll see in conference this season, had some good offers out of high school, transferred out of BSU. Thank you, Andrew. Angie Madsen, I think that's it. I think that the O-line needs some work. All right, I'm done. And Captain 58, I've said the same thing, Nate. The cupboards weren't bare here like they were / are at ISU. Okay, man, I like Martin, I completely torpedoed my thought process on what we're talking about. So one, you felt great about the takeaway of the game of, hey, two top 10 teams, a version of a heavyweight battle. The fans showed up and we're going to get better attendance heading into the future. Entertaining wire to wire. So in what way does this game, Martin, change your outlook on Idaho, or what way does it reinforce your outlook on Idaho for the rest of the season, which we're a third through, we're 4 weeks into a 11 game season, 12 weeks counting the bye, 33% of the season is done, guys. Martin, how's this? What does this do for your Idaho outlook?
To me, it just shows that they're like on track to say, or they're still in the running to win the conference. I think probably the October 28th game probably might be a conference championship game, like atmosphere, and could potentially be like what decides that game. And they are, as a former co-host said, on the right track to win the conference, it seems like now.
Thank you, Super George. Nick Weber, the comment section has the same impact on Brian's train of thought as a handle of Snake River Stampede. Damn right, Nick. Nick, here's the issue is when there's only a couple of us, you can forget the comment section and then you go back. And I kind of like Jason Mayer made a whole joke about the comment section the episode on Tuesday. And I kind of like that. So I'm game digging that hole coming back. Look, Eastern right now is up 27-24. On UC Davis with 13 minutes left in the fourth as we're recording.
And they just got a big interception too. I know we're kind of dating this episode.
Yes. Look, only reason I bring that up is, hey, next week, Eastern isn't looking like a walkthrough game anymore. Eastern Washington looks much better than last season, but we're talking about takeaways for Idaho. You're 100% right, Martin. It feels like the conference championship will be decided on October 28th in Moscow when Montana State comes to visit your mighty Vandals, who absolutely need to be top five after what we saw today. So, you know what, dude? I think we're closing in on being able to call this an episode. Make sure to support us, patreon.com/tubsatheclub, to join the hashtag only tubs Discord, which was still relatively active today, even though the dome reception is shitty, is super active during road games. Martin, are you going to see everyone on Saturday in Cheney?
Yep, I'll be there. I know for sure I'll be there in Cheney with my dad being there to watch the Idaho take on Eastern.
I'm going to be there for sure. As I'm going to be there as well. So my wife and I'll be there. That's going to be, to me, our de facto fifth home game, is being able to drive to Eastern, and then we have the other games left. But man, Idaho hits. We're in a huge run of the schedule for Idaho, Martin, where Idaho picked up the Sac State win. Now we need to get the win against Eastern and Montana before the bye week on October 21st. Or I might be missing a game that I'm running through right now. Well, obviously I'm missing a game. But we have in the comment section, Patty Firks is going to be there. Maximilian Antush. Please tell me if I butchered that pronunciation, Max. He's going to be in Cheney. Jonathan Jacobs, how much fun is this team experience right now? Happy Saturday nights. We're a rarity for a long time in Moscow. V's up. Yes, Jonathan, dude, that was my other takeaway. And the mayors are going to Cheney too. Is the parking lot, to me, the energy was great. All the Tubbs listeners are super friendly, and I love running into new Tubbs listeners, and I love running into Tubbs listeners who we message with and I don't get to see except when they're in Moscow, like Steve Kurtz, who's also going to be at Eastern. The energy around this program, Martin, is as good as it's been since Idaho dropped down to the Big Sky. It's not remotely close. Coaches kick ass, players kick ass, the fans are getting back on board, and considering how long Idaho was not worth paying attention to, I think being at the level Idaho is at today for week first home game, if this is the floor, buy your tickets now, dude. The Montana game tickets have to be I know this because I called the ticket office. There are more tickets sold for the Montana game this week than there were for the Sac State game as of Tuesday when I called in. So there's not going to be as many tickets. If you want to go to that, get your damn tickets. But man, we need to fill up the dome and support the team while they're here. The teams are doing, the athletes are showing up on Saturdays. The coaches are doing what they need to as coaches and with reaching out to the community. The university football team is doing everything you would ever ask them to do, Martin. We have to reward them by coming to the games if you can. Any other takeaways, any other things you want to hit on? We've got 48 live.
We can give ourselves
permission to keep going. They're not falling off yet. So they still want to talk football.
Yep. I think the one thing I thought was interesting, I didn't experience it today, was the new way they are selling beer this year. You can buy drink tokens. I wonder where they got that idea from. And you can just buy as many beer tokens as you want, and then you don't have to pay for beer at the games. You just have to give them the tokens, still only two at a time, though. It just was it's a new unique way on how they it's an interesting take on beer sales this year. Hopefully it'll speed up the alcohol purchasing experience, but it sounds like they didn't. It sounds like it didn't speed things up a little bit, but I'm sure it might just be first game.
So the people I sat next to loved the beer tokens, which is if it wasn't clear, you can buy beer tokens, and you don't have to sit and stand in line the way that slow moving, not staffed well enough line is going to be. Like, okay, Martin, you got to buy in person. Okay. But what I'm saying is once you have the token, you get to just trade it in for your beer.
Yeah.
So like you do have to buy them. But like if you want to go back, if you're a repeat
and the buyer, beer tokens just keep on going through. They don't expire at the end of each game. You can just buy them and you can buy 10 today and use those 10 throughout the four home games, maybe five or six or seven home games they have this year.
So Jason Mayer has a comment saying parents weekend and homecoming tickets are selling. Yes, they are. Parents, is parents weekend the same as homecoming? I don't have the schedule.
Absolutely it is.
God damn it. Thank you. Okay. Taylor Cash, we play Cal Poly on the 7th. Taylor, you now understand why I absolutely blew through that game. If you saw a Cal Poly score against top five Portland State today, which we'll talk about Sunday. So.
Sorry, yeah, I was wrong. It is homecoming Montana. Montana State is family weekend.
Yeah. Okay, so we're talking Idaho takeaways. One, I have to bring this up. This is basketball related for like 2 seconds, and this is finally not like hashtag right track joking basketball news. Is I met a handful of basketball players today in the parking lot. They introduced themselves to me. Like, I, full disclosure, on Tubbs, we mostly try to leave the athletes. We try to leave the athletes alone on purpose. So they, like, they can be undergrads who are doing their own thing, and we're grads doing our own thing too. But EJ Neal introduced himself to me. He's transferred from San Francisco. Then he brought over D'Angelo Minnis, also brought over Miles Clapper, and I believe the other was Quinn Denker. But all the dudes are super friendly, which the only reason I bring that up is, look, we're all going to give the new basketball coach, Alex Pribble. He's obviously, he gets a blank slate heading in, but it's great to have the basketball team be doing similar to what the football team is and reaching out to the community, trying to build bridges and earn support back. Those players did not, they are not the people who lost support, but they're the ones who have to earn it back. And it was cool to meet them. And now it is, I'm obviously rooting for Idaho, but you know, having met some of the guys, having them being friendly, you know, nice dudes, it is now impossible to not do it. It's impossible to do anything but hope that this team turns into exactly what we all hope it is. Talking football now, Martin.
Would you say they're on the right track to earning more fans?
Absolutely. But again, like, I don't mean that to make fun of the team, because I'm stoked for basketball season. And I think the new guys, everyone needs to give the new guys their own shot. They need some time. But want to talk about the receiving room a little bit. Terrez Trainor, one catch, like I said, for a touchdown. TJ Ivey, shockingly now becoming a deep play threat. He had a 52-yard touchdown today, 75-yard touchdown against Nevada. What surprises have you had out of the receiving room so far, Martin?
I'm not going to lie. The biggest surprise to me was TJ Ivey. I kind of thought, like, he didn't get much playing time in his first 4 years in college. I was kind of thinking, oh, he's just going to might be a nobody. He might just be a depth guy slash blocking type running back. But after that Nevada game where he had that 75-yard pat, like touchdown reception, I was like, okay, he's a viable threat, and it's not just like he's not just a body to fill in for blocking type plays only.
Yeah, that to me, when I see TJ Ivey, I wonder, like, okay, like, how in God's name did he not play again at Coastal Carolina? Because he just looks like our fourth best receiver. That's it. And there's some talented dudes who are not getting the same attention they got last year. Like, hey, Jordan Dwyer, one catch for 9 yards. We know Jordan Dwyer is a good receiver. There's just a lot of talent in the receiving room. And last season, once we got through like week four, Martin, the receiving room was largely Hayden Hatton and Jermaine Jackson. And there wasn't a lot else spread elsewhere, because Jordan Dwyer got hurt. So he wasn't getting his catches. We had Michael Graves was getting some. He was an impact player for a bit last year as number three receiver. But man, the talent in the wide receiver room is probably preventing Hayden Hatton from putting up like Walter Payton type of numbers. But Hayden Hatton still has those moments in the game where you just know. Look, I know he had a fumble, but whatever. Like, Hayden Hatton has been a kick-ass player for a long time. He gets to have a fumble once in a while, and we know it's not a big deal. We've seen him not fumble a ton. That's not going to be an issue going forward. Hayden Hatton still, with 7 catches, 72 yards, had virtually every catch to me was always a reminder that if Idaho felt they needed to, they could just do the old-school Vernon Adams to Cooper Kupp version at Moscow of Javonte McCoy to Hayden Hatton, because all of his catches seemed huge. And all of his catches came at times where Idaho really needed a break or they really needed a third down conversion. I really can't wait for him to get his next touchdown catch to break the Idaho all-time touchdown record. Nick Romano also, the Romano Renaissance on the ground continues, 7 rushes for 31 yards. Looked pretty solid, but it's pretty clear the running room is Anthony Woods, Nick Romano, and the other guys are third stringers if the game's out of reach. Martin, we probably got to close this down. I really don't want to, because we're sitting at 45 listeners. So, hey, patreon.com/tubsofclub helps out, help fill up my whiskey cabinet. Last things you want to hit on before we'll do a final comment read through, then call it a night.
I got nothing else to say. It felt good to just be at another home game. Shout out Jason Mayer and his awesome. I forget whatever he cooked today at the tailgate, but those things were sausage, biscuit, cheese ball things were amazing. It was good. Like, the band was amazing as always. I might be a little biased in that, but their new home uniform, new helmet, new Shakos and new uniforms, it looked amazing. It just felt fresh and new.
Yeah. Still a little anxious about the O-line. And I know that, man, defensively, there's just a couple things to get cleaned up. And this looks like a nationally elite defensive unit, man. I am terrified Montana's going to be smart and decide to make Rob Orich a head coach next year. I'm absolutely terrified that's going to be on the table. But in the comment section, SuperGeorge111, still on double secret probation. Yeah, we got to ask about getting Alex Pribble on. I asked about getting the football coaches on earlier and got the response of like, hey, we'll get back to you guys, then not getting back to us, so whatever. Max Antouche, basketball guys are really cool dudes. Yes, they are. Nate Meek, zero, meaning Terrence Trainer, was amazing. Weird that Trainer only had one catch, but I was really stoked with how he was on the game. 58, Captain 58, we spread around so much. Listed wide receiver, that guy was targeted today. Love that Terrence got the pay dirt. Eric Stang. Hey, Stang, made it to the live show. Glad to have you here, man. FCS is better when Idaho is good. Goddamn right, the FCS is better when Idaho is good. And, I clicked the button and made a huge mistake. Crewhead 76, Sack wanted to force us to run today, and we did. Patty first, Eastern's DB still can't tackle, and the clip of Jason taking a pull of Snake River Stampede needs to be an outro. I got a picture of it. I don't have a clip, but Jason was the parking lot MVP in my mind. Captain 58, Woods was so good today. Look for him to have a big day in Cheney. Christy Mayer, how did I miss that? I showed you the picture, Christy. Crewhead 76, great victory. Another building block to reestablish our program. Kevin Ridenour, Orich can do better than Montana. He means Nate Mink, Montana State is going to poach us. Tubbs the club, Grizz, Nate. Nate Mink, that would be heresy. And Patty first, Jason is always the parking lot MVP. All right, dudes, thanks for coming tonight. We did it a little bit extended, but hey, this is not a secret, guys. If we're going to have 43 live listeners, we will extend the show as long as we feasibly can. I really wish Dallas was on to talk a little bit more too, because Dallas would have some takes. I'm curious.
Yeah.
I'm curious because I watched the game live. Obviously being live changes what you know, how you experience what happens. I did not experience this. I experienced this both as being anxious about Idaho winning, but feeling pretty good about Idaho's performance. I truly think that if Idaho played Sacramento State 10 times, Idaho would not win 10 times. But I think they could win 8 or 7. And I think there would be a couple of those games that were 2 or 3 score wins. Cause it truly, Caden Bennett gave the Idaho secondary a chance to make him pay. And this was just an off day for the secondary in my mind, guys. I don't view it as generalizable. I feel very good about the Idaho secondary. Love the safeties we have. Ormani Arnold on the other side, as the other corner, he feels pretty dang good. Tommy McCormick is one of the best. If he's not the best safety in the league, he's one of the best safeties. Martin, you look like you're wanting to tell me something.
Nope, I was just watching the Eastern game. Okay. Eastern UC Davis game. I have a chance to be the finally win pick of, and I want to watch it happen.
Okay, so you're telling me we need to get off. All right, guys, thanks for coming in. Thanks for supporting the show. Also, another way to support the show that doesn't cost you a damn penny, hit subscribe on YouTube. Once we get to 1,000 viewers, YouTube has to pay us some number of pennies. With that said, Martin's going to play some compilations of videos that I do not know what they are. Thanks for hanging out with us tonight, guys. And hell yeah, dude. V's ups. And for those who are able to, we got the power rankings tomorrow. See you later, guys.
Go Vandals.
Go Vandals.